occasionally do interviews with some of the guest poets, depending on how organized I am. And the interviews are posted, there's a link from OVL.ie, the main page. You can click on Guest Poet Interview. And recently we put up Anna Maria Costorano, who was here a couple weeks ago, and then James Harper, who was even further back. And they both really, they gave really thoughtful answers. And it's questions about their poems and about their writing process, so I really recommend reading them, because they're giving us a lot of good help and strength. I didn't feel like reading one of my own poems tonight, so I brought somebody who I love. Okay, so this is, I love this poem because it's about love, but it's not a story broken up into lines. It's actually a poem about love where it takes interesting images and it takes an everyday common experience and makes something extraordinary out of it. And it's by Marie Burns. She reads here every once in a while in Cork, and the book is called Nelson and the Hoo-Boo-Hoo Bird. The poem is called A Boat About a Poem. All the men I've ever loved are living with me suddenly. This one has your mouth, lush drag of lips, that one your olive skin, and this one your sidelong look, and that your throat, your laugh, your hand, and you. Deep V of hair, light creases your eyes the way you settle me. The rain wraps barricades around the house. It nails us in. We're soldiers at a border post, cradled in air, in metal, in leaf. It's raining inside, too, cascading stone steps of stairs. I rain, so do you. There's nothing to do. I strap and unstrap my shoes, fill up the sinks and empty them, shower, wash the clothes. I know nothing about boats. Their congress with the sea and wind, nothing about topped lines, nothing of poetry.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for that example. You seem to be having some light storm, or it could be last orders. So next up we have James Rowe.
This here is Salamander, or Splitting the Word Asunder. To get out of its way and let the word have its say, to allow Salamander with its ballistic tongue to speak as it were for itself, seethes forth from between parted lip flesh the steam, the humid heat to hiss the wheel, the sala mandala into motion. Sa, natural exhalation made conscious mantra via the Tibetan Lama's art and concentration. Seed syllable born ready to spill and to spell its semen antics. Sala ilaha alamander. Sal, first step of the blessed meanderer. Samana on desultory route to salvation. Philosophic salt, it aggravates our thirst for experience, which is to say, heartbreak. Saltatory salmon of wisdom, which puts fire in the poet's belly, the Promethean liver, iron-rich and ever-nourishing the bird soul. Then again, the homeopathic salicylic acid, flame fighting febrifuge. Sala, inside out, alas, sigh of affirmation in spite of everything, a solemn cry of mercy, realized as grand mercy. Universal love chosen as armor by the jilted paramour. Maya's cherry which secretly bears the stone seed of Buddhahood. Salamani Padme Humander. Salam Shalomander, a benediction, peace to man, passionate man of peace amidst passion's holocaust. Word on the cross, word in the manger. Sala ilaha ila alamander. Salome, ecstatic menad, tender-hearted wet nurse and blood-crazed render, strip dancing the shamanic mandates at each of hell's seven almond-shaped gates, shedding a veil until she's translated to the muses Mount Helicon, having made vulnerability her most venerable ability, having forged her foibles into fables, beheading the ego, soft ale meet Einander, and thereby midwifing the death and life and death cycle. Sulam, black stone which proves pristine dream pillow and golden ladder to heaven and back. Salamonica, piss and dung of pilgrim camels, refined into life promoting fertilizer, rebels and revelers, explosives, smelling salts to awaken consciousness. Sacred, taboo, untouchable, outcast, destined to cast out our sins and demons. Allah the dervish performing his turning, Sima. The salamander is the genius of emptiness, Sama. Generating wings and taking flight, Samara. Finding purchase in the doorway of King Solomon's temple, Sala ilaha ila Allah, Mander, I am that, I am. The highest cause of everything is living within the thing itself, bird and word as wheel and whirler of the wheel. Dharma chakra come full circle back to mysterious S. Death tree shading Zeus's birthcave. Amphibious alphabetic agent both of hissing demise and of plurality. Salamanders.
Thanks very much for the practical voice, David Rowe. And next up we have Patty Doyle.
Heart of the world. The tide has turned and the year grows full again. Spring has come and I throw open my window to welcome her in. Old crows gossip for the garden walls. The world is an orchestra of birds. Their singing is joyous and full of promise, and soon there will be love and nests and leaves. A twig snaps and the silence comes closer. Suddenly I stand deep in the world and remember, this is the way things are. A bucket of ashes and an old rake thrown sideways in the hedge. Boots crunching a gravel yard. The crows gone suddenly quiet and the harp growing full. The sound of song and singing themselves. The overwhelming aliveness of ordinary things and the incredible catharsis inherent in coming to stillness. To be here is to be loved. I am healed. Some part of me now can never grow old, will always be here, building my nest at the heart of the world.
Thanks very much. Good evening. Maisie Golnut has written another letter to the principal, and it's about the parent-teachers meeting, which took place in the gym hall, which also doubles for the school musical. Dear Principal, luckily the weather was a little milder yesterday afternoon for the parent-teacher meeting. Frostbite was kept at bay. Now, that is not to say that there weren't frosty moments. I got some icy looks from Jay Johnson's mother and father. His name is actually John, I believe, but they call him only by the first letter of his name. I don't think they can bear to say his name. I know how they feel. Luckily, we were seated near the stage where we will be starting rehearsals for the school musical in a few weeks' time. Both parents were in attendance, unfortunately, and I was cross-eyed trying to speak to both of them at the same time. They feel their son is being bullied. I affected a horrified expression. Imagine bullying in St. Ghetto High. What a thought. Not only that, but they brought little Jay himself along. After we were talking a little while, we noticed that Jay had gone missing. We looked all around the hall, but he was nowhere to be seen. I even checked under the table. No luck. Then we noticed that he had hauled himself up on one of the ropes, those thick ones with the big knots at either end. He was sitting on the top bar, looking down at us with a grin like a monkey in a tree. He did not respond to his parents' exhortations that he come down this minute, nor did he look remotely like coming down even after his father intoned, "Come down this minute, you little or I'll effing murder you." As you can imagine, I mean horrified to hear any of my pupils addressed in this fashion, but one cannot violate the sanctity of the family, so I let it go without comment. It really did not surprise me that Jay didn't respond to his father. He never responded to any of my suggestions either. His mother said that if he didn't come down forthwith, she would lock his PlayStation in the attic for a moment. I noticed a slight change in his features then. I called up to Jay and, affecting a concerned tone in my voice, pointed out that he might get dizzy if he stayed up there too long. I eventually lured him down with a pack of Smarties and I promised that I wouldn't punish him and that his father didn't mean it literally when he said he would murder him. At least not while they were on school grounds, and certainly not the gym hall where there were too many witnesses. I must admit there for my surprise when his dad gave him a box that sent him flying several yards through the air and onto the stage. I always knew that boy had a future. I just hadn't envisaged he would make it onto the stage quite so soon. I explained to the Johnsons then, to the background accompaniment of Jay screeching and bawling, that I was delighted to have Jay in my class, but that a flick knife was not a requirement, and that really was hardly worth his trouble bringing it in every day and placing it significantly on his desk first thing every morning. I realized that Bobby O'Mara had been bullying him, on one occasion dragging him around the room with an old ring into which he had inserted a piece of twine. But knives are out, bottom line. And that is another thing, Principal. Could you mention over the intercom that nose rings are for bulls and not for bullying? I have some other stuff to tell you about the PT meeting, and I will be keeping you informed over the next few days. I must run now, as I have just opened my diary to find an unexpected entry. Mouse droppings. 12:15, I'm back standing on the desk again in an effort to avoid any close encounters with my little furry friend, who, as you will recall, made his first appearance some weeks ago. He might strike at any time. Yours loftily, Regent Eagle.
very much. Next up, we have Colin Scully.
I did a workshop a couple of weeks ago with James Harper. I just mentioned that because this poem is called Workshop, but it doesn't refer to anybody who actually took part in the workshop, because it was written before the workshop took place, but I actually read it at the workshop, so it doesn't refer to anyone. So. The workshop. Anything can be a poem, he snapped. The widely published Meriton Prize intellectual giving the workshop. He studied closely my uncultured lines, my half-scanning, ill-rhymed, archaic text. I felt my ego grinding slow, then stopped. I quietly waited, watching others in the room. Real poets, I thought. That hippie with the puffed red in front and dangling jewellery. That erudite, spectacled, socialist-looking type. That goatee gave his pedigree away. That skinny student at the back, slumped in his chair. I knew from how he held his pen, his words were driven. Slowly the teacher raised his head and stared me down. I think you've come into the wrong class, you clown.
Give me the leafy hedgerows, that passing spot we'll always find, if each of us contents to give way on the narrow, friendly road. Beachcombers. The reek draped in a fleece, crisp winter day, I walk with friends and my buck-leaping 9-year-old son, while waves swash on Bertha Beach. And we find dinosaur bones and speckled hen eggs, Chinese writing, licorice all sorts. saber-toothed tiger fangs and the crown jewels amongst the pebbles on the shore. And I'll just do a third one. I wrote this some time ago for my father. On the death of my father. Something drove me back after that last blazing row. To say, no hard feelings, Dad. And I'm grateful for it now. That small, mysterious voice that made me touch your brow the last time I saw you. I wept when I heard the news, far away in another place. I never thought I'd weep, but the mysterious mind of race must have its own reasons. Though seldom I recall your face, I know we've made our peace. Everyone saw you as a sociable rogue, great man for your crack, typical of your land and time, but your sober moods were black. A street angel, house devil. Well, anyone can lose the track, so who am I to criticize? Again, I say, no hard feelings, my father. Thanks.
Look, can I start with just two quick announcements? There are three of us here who are in a workshop that meets every Tuesday afternoon in Wilson Public Library in Cork. Now, this is a time of great unemployment for writers. So those of you who happen to be free on a Tuesday afternoon between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock who would like to be part of a writers group or know anybody who would like to be, it's open to the public. Public Library in Wilton at 3 o'clock. That's the first announcement. Second is a bit of a story, and I'll keep it really, really short. It's about the story. I went to Writers Week this year, and I don't know if any of you have ever been to Writers Week. I know Niall has been there, and I'm looking to see a couple of people nodding in the place. Now, the story is a bit unusual. I say that with the confidence of somebody who doesn't... who isn't able to compare us with anywhere else in Ireland, because I've been out of the country for a long time. But the thing about it is that I, with a couple of other people, put together a blog this year. So if any of you are interested in seeing Listo Writers Week and what it's possible to do with a blog, if you just Google Listo Writers Week fringe.com, you'll find an extraordinary collection of activities. We set out to do the best ever blog that has been done at a literature festival anywhere in the world. So you can judge it if you like. Anyway, I'll read you two poems, two short poems. One is a proper sonnet in iambic pentameter, and the other is a mock sonnet, meaning it's got 14 lines. One I wrote before going to Listowel, and the other I wrote when I came back. I had to have something to take to the bear pit in Listowel, which is where writers go and read their stuff. Okay, this is the proper sonnet. I dare not bring my Mont Blanc to Listowel. Now, Mont Blanc is a very fancy, expensive pen. Okay, I dare not bring my Mont Blanc to Listowel. These moleskin notes. This is a moleskin notebook. These moleskin notes complain the risk of loss. Every marriage demands the space for dreams to fly and learn the gift of flight across the void that's left where closest friend is gone. This pen has need of lines forever near, so sits beside its book like winter fire, content to keep the company that's dear. 'Tis I that guards the fate of couples' mates that live their lives in need of each to flower, both pocket-sized travellers designed for ease and style, reservoirs in black round tower. Show me the hand that dares transport its jewel from safest heart to scorn that could be cruel. Thank you. Okay, this one is shorter, the lines are shorter, it's not iambic pentameter, but there is a really rhyming at the end. And this was actually written in the pub in some of you will know, in John B. Keane's. So I just ask you to imagine a pub, and the rest is told in the poem. Mm-hmm. For once I have the corner seat, the stool beside the bar. I see the wake. That's actually behind the bar. There's a picture of the wake. I see the wake, the Bowron drum, the sacred heart, the flame on fire. In John B. Keane's I trawl the room for writers on the prowl. I see them with their lips aloud and close both eyes to hear a symphony of singing voice, a choir of accents down from hills. They thrill the light in list old night, evangelize the whole, another Guinness for my thirst, another witness be not cursed. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Short one, longer one maybe. This is suggested by my friend who came with me, but he disappeared again. He seemed to well, who knows. Well, anyway, this is for Krampte. In South Africa, it's a term for conservative people who watch the stock market very soon. Look for them, shitting gold bricks and stock stumbles. They hold them together in their sprinkled paradise, a world of insincere beauty in their conditioning, eyeing us warily through bulletproof glass. They make suffering a game, dictating their lines to the millions who soon crush. I panic, the touch zone of all our grief. Okay, next one's called Colour, we'll leave it at that. Colour visits my abode, variegated hues, and most of my beliefs are mere colours, formed of mood, saturated by my surroundings, and steeped in livelong factor fantasy. I am stewed by ochres, toward a final splash of recklessness. I compose nothing, and fearing the awful depths of frost unlevied, I darken with clay the brown dust of reason, which I scatter, leaving footprints and other marks from my dripping ceiling, concentrated rainbow squashed thoughts. Green grass of Erin, carry me to your sweet soothing dew, O bright-breasted robin, swell up, sing me a song. Blackbird, so clearly your lifting lightens the morn, I am coloured by you all once again, the stone.
Alan
Kittley,
the late arriver,
but worth it. Well, I don't know about that. We've lost tonight, you know, so you have to resume. This actually, I only wrote it today, and some of you have been aware of the Ryan report and of some fairly politics that have been going on in Irish industrial schools over the last couple of years. And as you know, Leonard Cohen wrote a song once upon a time, Sisters of Mercy, so this is actually a parody. Some of it is fairly crude, but you look like that. Oh, the Sisters of Mercy, they have not departed or gone. They were waiting for me when I thought that I could not go on. And they gave me their smilings and later a belt of their tongue. I hope you avoid them, you who have suffered so long, and those Christian-eyed buggers who had a smell of control. They begin anywhere, but soon they end up in your hole. I see how they're hanging, you see it when you're truly pinned. Though you've always felt holy, your innocence shows that you've sinned. They lay down beside me, I gave my childhood to them. They touched all my parts, and I felt a spunk on their hem. If your life is pure shit, and years tear off and condemn, they will bind you with wires as barbed and as poisoned as hell. When they left I was sleeping, I hope you don't meet them too soon. No need to turn off the light, they can take off your dress by the moon. They were certainly zealous in buggering the best years of your life. We never thought that those feelings were truly the teaching of Christ. We never thought that those feelings were truly the teachings of Christ.
Next up, we have Paul Casey.
That's a true story, huh? Usually my poems are about 10 miles long with about a 1 minute introduction, so I thought that it's important to have in your Uber at least one poem where the introduction is longer than the poem. And I'm not going to bother giving it a whole introduction, but it's basically compiled from Wikipedia, and it describes what N-theory is. Do you know what N-theory is? It's a version of string theory. It's a latest kind of theoretical physicist theory. Do you know anything about that?
Of course.
Oh,
it's a good question. They're trying to explain the universe
better. Enlighten us.
I won't bother. I'll just give you the poem.
Okay.
You can look it up on Wikipedia.
Your chapter.
I dreamt of N-theory last night after seeing the Vagina Monologues, the masterpiece, and became a trans-multiversal salmon, slipping through worlds, so I felt too alone to shed my scales, or to expand into life, and so returned, became clay, then flesh again. Wished I was a vagina for a day, and explained to the other physicists that the primary substance of the multiverse and everything outside of it is imagination, and that beyond that again is up to yourself, of course.